And spoiler, I could not.
I got a text from yesterday. I can't do this.
It was awful.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. My name is Chris Roby, and across from me is Carly Duke.
Hey, Chris.
Welcome to the podcast, guys. We are thrilled today to talk about, we're going to talk about generations. Like
super interesting.
Generational differences. This could be a hot button topic depending on like what crowd you're talking about. I feel like, I could be wrong, but I feel like older people than me really are fascinating with the generations. like they want to almost use it as a dividing thing.
Right.
You know, and I think it's more indicative of what's happening culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and you are different generations technically.
Yes.
I'm a Gen Xer by a few years and Carly is a millennial.
I am. And I think this stuff is fascinating. Chris was just saying, which is true, there doesn't seem to be always like a hard and fast, here's where this generation starts and this one mm-hmm. ends, which doesn't really seem right. But we're going to be talking about Gen Z.
Yeah. And I think to frame this conversation for a second, I think it's important to have a conversation in a positive light to understand kind of what's happening
mm-hmm.
culturally. I feel like the generational talk tends to be something that we bludgeon people with. The, you know, I mean, before they were millennials, they disparaged Gen Xers for how lazy we were and all blah, blah, right. blah, blah. And so now kind of the joke is on millennials, you know, mm-hmm. like it's, and so we have passed the baton on to you.
Appreciate it.
And enjoy the abuse. And then someday y'all will pass it on to Gen Z. But that's who we're going to talk about, who are basically our teenage generation now.
Yes. To start, just for some fun, we put out on Teen Life's Instagram, which if you're not following us, go follow us because we do polls sometimes that end up in the podcast. But one of them was, what's one thing from your teen years that teens today just can't understand?
Mm.
And we got some really funny answers that you might appreciate too and laugh along with. Someone said life without cell phones.
There are people who say that the entire series of Seinfeld would not exist if there were cell phones.
Ooh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like that's how big of an impact they've had mm-hmm. on society. Yeah.
But they've never, this Gen Z has never been without a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Burning CDs for your boo.
Carly. So during my sabbatical, in which I talked about, I did a little bit of cleaning and I found the old CD cases.
Oh, yeah.
With all those. And then I found my wife's.
Oh, no.
But what was kind of funny is we actually had pretty similar musical tastes back then, which I didn't anticipate. But yeah.
I just threw out, like literally this week, a pack of blank CDs.
Mm.
Like there were probably 100 in there.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what am I going to do with those?
Yeah.
I don't even have a way to burn CDs on my computer anymore.
It's amazing how quickly they disappeared.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Waiting for my mom to pick me up after I called her from the school payphone.
I'd never, that predates me, I feel like. I don't feel like I ever did that.
Mm. And that goes back to no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
That if you had to call your parent, you had to get in touch through the school.
Yeah.
You probably had to catch them at home.
Yeah, I remember using other people's phones, maybe the school secretary's right. phone or whatever, but yeah, yeah.
The fact that you had to have a hardwired phone in your house for internet.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the old, like, dial-up?
Oh, yeah.
That if someone was on the internet, no one could call the house. Mom and dad would get so mad.
Yes. And for the parents listening, you totally get this, but just to know that like there was a dedicated phone line and you would not have internet if someone was on the phone.
Yes.
That's insane to me. Get off the phone so I can get on the internet. Yeah.
And if and any teenagers listening, like, wait, what? They don't get it.
Yeah. Just Google it on your always on
yes,
internet.
Yes, exactly. And then one that I actually said this, I vividly remember if I wanted to go somewhere because I didn't have internet on my phone, I had to like pre-print out directions.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you got on a wrong turn, it was a whole deal. Where do I go?
And people think cell phones are dangerous. Now think about driving with a stack of papers in
exactly.
your hands.
Trying Someone to figure said where you're going. That they were like, oh, so I can't talk on my phone through my Bluetooth, but I could have 10 sheets where I'm like scrolling through yes. trying to figure out where I am in a map.
Yes.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So Gen Z is apparently maybe approximately.
Depending on who you talk to, yeah.
Born around 1997 to 2012. Mm-hmm. So these are early 20s through 10 years old. Is that right? Is my math right?
9 years old. Yeah.
Yes. So
we'll be 10 years this year. Yeah.
Yes, yep. They're turning 10. But this is where teenagers fall. They are the most diverse generation that we've ever had. So 48% are non-white. Millennials, only 39% are non-white. And wow. So we're getting more diverse, which I think is interesting. Like talking about this diversity, if you think about our teenagers, their early years, Obama was president. So they grew up in the era of our first black president, legalization of gay marriage. So they are, as a generation, we're seeing more inclusive and more open-minded than any other generation before.
They're also digital natives. I love this terminology. Mm-hmm. I think it's very descriptive of being the, they've always had internet.
Right.
And internet and cell phones and, you know, or I guess earlier millennials, you know, would have had adopted social media, but younger Gen Zers, not, I'm getting them all mixed up, Gen Zers would have always had social media. Right. And that's always a social outlet. And so there's never been a time where it didn't have some kind of internet connectivity. This is an interesting stat. iPhone was introduced in 2007 when the oldest Gen Zers were 10.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't been around that long, but it feels like forever.
It does. Education is a big thing for Gen Zers. Obviously, it's still early because a lot of our Gen Z population is high school and younger. But the oldest Gen Zers are more likely to go to college than previous generations, but they're also less likely to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that obviously we'll be watching. But the articles that I read predicted that this will be the most educated generation that we've had before. And probably in many ways, because as you said, they have all this information at their fingertips all the time.
Right. And because of that, mental health, stress, and anxiety is going to be a big problem for this generation.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason why we do what we do at the Teen Life Podcast, and the work that we do as an organization is highlighting and supporting mental health issues for teenagers, because we still don't know how the always on internet is affecting us. It's going to be a while before we really understand the full impact. The early data says it's not good.
Right.
And so stress and anxiety, and especially now having gone through a pandemic, for our younger Gen Zers who experience adolescence and pandemic side by side, mental health and stress are going to be a big, big issue.
Definitely. We did, if you remember, last spring, we did an interview with Dr. Michelle Borba about her book, Thrivers. And so some things that she pulled, she, in the very beginning intro, she talks about this generation and what's going on. And she says pre-COVID, they reported that they are less happy and more stressed, lonely, depressed, and suicidal compared to previous generations. So that's what we're working with. Some of the kids that she interviewed said things like, they're constantly compared to each other. They never feel good enough. They have this pressure to make everything look picture perfect, which I think social media is definitely playing into. They have a fear of failing. They have this feeling of being lost and not knowing exactly where they fit in. So that's the generation that we're raising as teenagers right now.
Right. With that in mind, with kind of that portrait of they are more educated, less likely to work, higher incidence of mental health issues, always connected, more diverse, not only in ethnicity, but also in political ideation and willingness to be open to different viewpoints. You know, how do we as helpers, as adults, as parents, what can we do? What are some ways that we can be the most supportive as those who might not be in that generation?
Right. I think boundaries are so important in teaching this generation boundaries. We kind of, you talked about this last episode of even just taking a break and taking time to rest. This generation is more connected and more lonely, which is such a weird back and forth. But I think it's because they're connected in some of the wrong ways and they're not giving themselves space to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And so setting those boundaries is so, so important for this generation.
Yeah. I mean, you said two things that are very different in, like, on their surface, like the most connected and the most lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a paradox.
Right.
Right. And so that has to, you have to ask which one of those needs to go for the other to get better, mm-hmm. you know? And the always on connectivity, we are starting to see, and I think, you know, ancient wisdom would tell us that's not how we're put together.
Right.
Like our brains aren't really wired that way. Computers, we're not computers, basically, you know, we feel like we have to be like the thing that's in our hand, and that's not who we are. That's not how we're set up. And so the more that we are always on, always connected, the worse our mental health gets. So the boundaries, we'll talk about more as we go on through this spring about what are ways that we can purposely disconnect. And I will give you a little hint. It's hard. It's hard to start. But once you do, you realize the benefits of what that can mean.
I think listening is also big. Don't belittle their experience or even try to compare it to your own because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was in Thrivers is these kids said, my parents don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think my teenagers were more difficult. I walked uphill both ways to school kind of mm-hmm. thing that mm-hmm. is always kind of the joke. But their experience is so different. Mm-hmm. And so let it be different
mm-hmm.
and just listen.
I would compare it to, because it's about environment. You know, like if you hiked up the same mountain in the wintertime and the summertime, it's still the same mountain,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very different experience.
Right,
right.
Totally.
And so I think that's where as adults we get a little bit tripped up is that, well, I went through adolescence and you probably hiked up that mountain in the summertime, you know, or whatever that looks like. It was hard, but it was hard for a totally different set of reasons.
Right.
And to understand and have empathy that the environment and the landscape that these teenagers are growing up with is markedly different than what you grew up in. And you have to be real with yourself about that.
And I will say, as someone in the generation next to Gen Z, I would not want to be a teenager right now
mm-hmm.
at all. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. And so it is already just in the year since I've been a teenager, it's very different and it's not something I envy them for.
But I would also say to Carly, the years have given you wisdom.
Right.
And so that's where we encourage you, the listener, the helper, to lean into your own wisdom on this. Totally. And I think, you know, like we say a lot of times on the podcast, to be aware of your own, where it's taken over your life. Because I would say, we could be just as bad with it, you know, easily. I know I am with technology and always on, where if I can just take a little break to get some space, it would be a whole lot better.
For the trend this week, Chris, I want to talk about, well, I don't want to talk about, but I think we need to talk about euphoria.
To set this up, listener, I told... Carly had this idea to talk about euphoria, and I was like, I don't think you can make it through the first episode.
And spoiler, I could not.
I got a text from yesterday, I can't do this.
It was awful. I tried to watch, and I wasn't going to like try to watch. There are two seasons out, or it's mm-hmm. in the second season right now. This is an HBO Max TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, just for some context, I'll try to watch the first episode. I don't even think I made it halfway through. There was nudity. There was drugs. The language was awful. It's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah, this is not for me. And so just no context. I've not fully watched this show.
Well, and I made a run at it probably about a year ago just to see. And I consider myself, I have more of a stomach for that kind of stuff. And I couldn't do it either.
It is tough. So hear us saying first, before we talk about it, this is not a show that we're necessarily recommending, especially we're not recommending your teenager watches, but they might be watching it. It's mm-hmm. very big right now. So Euphoria, this comes from HBO's website. It follows a group of high school students as they navigate love and friendships in a world of drugs, sex, trauma, and social media.
Mm-hmm.
So the big player in this is Zendaya. And she won an Emmy for it. Was that last year, 2 years ago, maybe? Season one.
Yeah. It was during pandemic. Cause I remember she was at her house when she won it.
So she won the Emmy for this, which she was the youngest actress to ever win this Emmy. And so it is something that teenagers, I think, are watching. It's huge. Everything I read basically said that people are like, we don't like it, but we can't look away. It's kind of the vibe that I got. But they are wrapping up season two either this week or next week, I think. And it also just got renewed for a third season. So you will see another season of this coming.
Mm-hmm. Depicts high school students having sex with full frontal nudity, overdosing, and driving drunk. And so it's one of those things like, you know, this stuff has been depicted in shows before, but probably just not to the explicit extent that this one. This one just doesn't seem to really care a whole lot about any of that. And it's just going for all of it. And so the actors are adults in this, but they are playing teenagers.
I think that's what makes it icky. Mm-hmm. Of I knew in my brain, this is an adult, but she's playing a teenager, and what they're doing and what they're talking about made me feel very icky. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a whole other discussion of people wanting to watch shows about teens having sex with nudity. And there was some interesting, some of the articles I was reading, it got into some actresses show more than others. So is that a power play? Are there some actresses who are saying, like, I don't think Zendaya's character shows much nudity. Mm-hmm. So is that a character choice or is that an actress choice? Mm. I don't know the answer to that, but it's a conversation that we need to be having.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a reality for all teenagers, but it probably is a reality for some.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the National Center for Drug Abuse Statistics, 62% of teenagers in the 12th grade have abused alcohol. 50% have misused a drug at least once.
Big numbers.
Yeah, those are huge numbers. And so it isn't, I don't want parents to, if they did watch it, necessarily be freaking out because I can't believe this is what my teenager is going through. However, there are probably pieces that are based in reality.
Mm-hmm. This is not a show we'd recommend teenagers watch, obviously. Check out Common Sense Media, and that's a link that we have mentioned quite a few times before, but it's something that you should be aware of as a parent that teens are watching and talking about, and it's a part of the conversation, the zeitgeist right now. There's a lot of resources out there if you want to find out more about it without watching it, which that's what we're choosing to do. But definitely check that out.
Yeah, I think where people are especially worried is DARE, the DARE program, so Drug Abuse Resistance Education. They released a statement saying that the show chooses to misguidedly glorify and erroneously. Am I saying that word right?
Erroneously.
As soon as it came out, I was like, I don't think that's right.
Erroneously.
Sorry. But they're depicting high school students through drug use, addiction, anonymous sex, violence, and other destructive behaviors as common and widespread. And they are worried about that. I did see Zendaya came out and basically said, we are not trying to glorify this. We're trying to start conversations about this is happening and it probably shouldn't be. So wherever you fall on that discussion of should you show it or should you not, this is a conversation to have with your teenager. And maybe the first one begins with, have you watched it? Mm-hmm. Are your friends watching it? What do you know about it? And then having conversation from there.
Right.
For the tip this week, Chris, I don't know about you. When I am scrolling through my Instagram, I am seeing stuff that I did not choose to be there, and it is making me very angry.
When you put this down, I'm still not the biggest Instagram user in the world, but I am a bigger Twitter user, and this is happening over there too, and it is super annoying.
Yes, I think we will probably have another episode on suggested content, but today the tip I wanted to give is if you are seeing suggested content, so what that means is like if you're scrolling and it's not a friend or someone you follow that's coming up, but it's Instagram saying, hey, you might like this, or because you like this post, you would really like this.
Mm.
What they're doing is trying to keep you in the app.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. They're trying to get you to click and watch videos and scroll and stay on. And what's frustrating is it works.
Mm.
Like yesterday, I found myself being like, oh, that's funny. And then I was like, wait, I don't follow this person. How did I get there? And then I realized, oh, they have me pegged.
Yeah.
For sure. And so this is a big player right now, but if you come across a suggested post, there is an X in the top right. If you click on that, I think it's kind of faded, so it's not like super obvious, but if you click on that, it'll pull up a few options and you can either say no to that account or you can snooze all suggested posts for 30 days.
Yes.
I'll report back if this actually worked because I tried it. And if I keep getting suggested posts, then I'll know it didn't actually work. But that is a good thing to know that at least for a month, you could take a break from Instagram infiltrating your feed.
And I think this is a good time to point out what Carly just alluded to, that, you know, this is about keeping you hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And the job that they like the job they feel like they have to do to keep you on their app. And so just to be mindful that they're not really even trying to hide it anymore.
Totally.
How much they're trying to keep you on there. And so be mindful of that. I'm glad to know that there is an option on Instagram to snooze all posts. I'm gonna look for that on Twitter, because I find myself really resenting that's on there.
Right.
But that's a really good thing to point out. And for as you talk to your students, your teenagers about their social media use, ask them, is this something you're seeing pop up? Let's talk about that. Why do you think social media companies are doing that? And so they can be more aware of how they're trying to hook us on those feeds.
Totally. And for more on the social media conversation, if you didn't listen to episode 38 with Kelly Fan, she talks a little more about that and how they get you hooked and what that looks like. So that's another great podcast to go listen to continue this conversation.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.